Hello, you fans. Welcome into the Crimson Corner Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your Utes insider, Trevor Allen. Thank you so much for joining the podcast. I really do appreciate it. Have a really good show coming up as we look back on the 10-year anniversary of Utah accepting an invitation to join the Pac-12 Conference. We'll catch up with the commissioner of the conference, Larry Scott. He joined me to talk about the whole process of how he got Utah to join the Pac-12 Conference and how Utah's done while being a member of the conference, as we look at how the voluntary workouts are going on campuses within the members of the conference, and will there be a 2020 college football season coming up in the fall? But first off, a couple of news and notes to get to. Three more former Utah football players have signed their NFL rookie contracts, draftees, that is. And the first one was John Penasini a few weeks ago, and then Zach Moss with the Buffalo Bills signed a 4-year deal, and then Julian Blackman has signed his contract with the Indianapolis Colts, so congratulations to them. And then former Utah women's basketball star Megan Huff signed a 1-year deal with the Minnesota Lynx in the WNBA, so that's pretty cool. And then one more really good piece of news for Utah football is that defensive end Max Tupai has returned to the team. This according to Tom Hackett of KSLSports.com, which is big news because, you know, last year he was splitting reps with Mika Tafua on the opposite side of Bradley and I at that left end position. And now of what we should expect is that Mika Tafua and Max Tupai anchor both of those DN positions for Utah coming up in 2020. So that's good news. We all thought he was going to come back. He just missed spring ball due to some personal reasons that Kyle Whittingham announced. And obviously there wasn't much spring ball, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But now he, according to Tom Hackett, is back with the program. And then a couple of pieces of basketball news. Former Utah basketball guard Booth Gotch has committed to Minnesota. He's heading back home to play for the Golden Gophers. He'll have to sit out a year, and then he will have 2 years to play. And then one that was a little shocking, I'm not surprised that Larry did this, Utah basketball signee Caleb Lohner has been granted a full release from his national letter of intent to Utah basketball, which means he'll likely sign with BYU in the coming weeks, because that was, according to reports, one of the reasons why he wanted to get out of his NLI at Utah was to do that. And Larry released the following statement, quote, "We are obviously very disappointed in Caleb's recent decision requesting a release from his NLI. However, we will honor his wishes and turn our focus towards the motivated, talented, and connected players and coaches that are committed to our program. We look forward to getting back on the court together this fall and return to prominence within the Pac-12, close quote. So that's a big hit for Utah as they get ready for the 2020-21 season. All right, now it's time to talk about what happened 10 years ago this month that Utah accepted an invitation to join the Pac-10 Conference, which became the Pac-12. Now here's my conversation with Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott. So 10 years ago today, as we are looking back on 10 years of Utah being a member of the Pac-12 Conference, we catch up with the man who's in charge of the entire conference, Commissioner Larry Scott. Larry, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well under the circumstances, but obviously a lot of balls in the air at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll talk about that shortly. But I wanted to get you on because 10 years ago today, you sent out an invite to Utah to become a member of the Pac-10, which has now become the Pac-12. Has time flown by? I mean, has it really seemed like 10 years ago that you sent that invite to Utah?
It has gone by in a flash when you think of it that way. But I've still got vivid memories of not just the process, but it was a glorious day on the steps of the state capitol when we announced that Utah was joining the Pac-12, and it was just great to see the community support and enthusiasm, not just in the world of athletics, but on that day, I remember, you know, feeling the emotion, the enthusiasm from the academic side of the U, as well as the community more broadly, and I look back with a lot of gratitude and pride, because it's worked out exceedingly well from our perspective, and Utah has been a tremendous fit to the Pac-12 conference.
You mentioned that you also know the process pretty vividly. And, you know, I kind of want you to take us through that a little bit of what you can. You had 10 schools in your conference. You wanted to add a couple of more. What was kind of going through that process of adding Utah to the Pac-12?
Yeah, well, it's even under the best of circumstances, you know, finding alignment amongst 10 institutions on a major strategic initiative like that, and the criteria that was used was a behind the scenes process in and of itself, focused on what our priorities and filters would be in thinking about what schools would make sense to add. And it was about academically strong institutions and markets that would be additive to the conference, you know, strong traditions with football success, men's and women's basketball, and a commitment to broad-based sports sponsorship and excellence across the board in Olympic sports, because that's part of the DNA of this league, and schools that were committed to, you know, doing things the right way. That would be an overall fit in a lot of respects. And that led us to Utah as a pretty obvious choice early on. But there were multiple scenarios during that time. Expansion was in the air. A lot of different leagues were looking at it, and we had multiple scenarios we were working on at once. But, I look back and very grateful that it all worked out, and Utah's added a tremendous amount of value to the league on a lot of different levels. It's performed very well, and it just wound up being a great fit in retrospect.
It was 10 years ago to where Utah took that invite, but then it was another year before they actually started playing in the conference. How would you sum up the last 9 years of this conference having 12 members?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't much of an integration process, I think, right from the beginning. It was a pretty seamless transition, and, you know, didn't take long for Utah to be very competitive, certainly in football, which we knew they would be. Kyle's done an amazing job with the team, you know, over many years. And, you know, we saw their strength when they were in the Mountain West, and when they had the opportunities in bowl games, they took advantage of them. I still think Kyle's got one of the best bowl records of any currently sitting coach. So we knew they'd be competitive, but, you know, in discussions with Kyle and other administrators, knew there'd be a bit of a transition from a recruiting perspective, just week in, week out the grind of the Pac-12 conference, the juggernaut that it takes to go through in the South, and then the cross-divisional games. I think it took a couple of years of adjustment, but, you know, judging by, you know, Utah's performance and making the Pac-12 championship game a couple of times, and this past year being in the top 10 ranked teams in the country most of the season, you know, they've been a real flag bearer for the conference in football. And, of course, at competitive teams in men's basketball, Larry Krystkowiak's been tremendous, and, you know, really competitive teams, done well at the Pac-12 tournament and across the board, you know, from softball, of course, to other sports. I mean, it's been, volleyball been, you know, very, very strong. And, you know, really haven't skipped a beat, I think, in the transition. And it's been you know, a very positive thing all around.
Going back, as you were looking for those teams to look at, I know that there were 2 years that were really close together where Utah didn't lose a game. I've even talked to guys from those teams where they went on to beat Pitt and then Bama in the Sugar Bowl. Was that what maybe sparked some of those talks with Utah as far as getting them into the conference?
I would say it's more sustained excellence over a period of time and a commitment. Great fan base, great support from the community. You know, when you make a decision about realignment and inviting a university into the conference, it should be based, you know, more on overall fit of the university and sustained excellence over time, not necessarily one sport for a success for a short period of time, because these decisions are made with a very long-term view. And you're always going to have ups and downs, of course, in any sport. So you try to make the decision based on more fundamental factors that are earned over a sustained period of time as opposed to a very short moment.
As you look forward, and I know it's probably hard to look forward as far as years down the road, especially what we're going through right now in this crazy time, but where do you see the conference 5-10 years down the road?
You know, I think we're all learning to be nimble and flexible, and it's important to be strategic and think long-term, but we also, you know, have to be humble enough to realize there are circumstances outside our control that are going to dictate us reacting. You know, sitting here right now, we're in the midst of an unprecedented health crisis, economic crisis for college sports, a race crisis in this country, and some real existential threats from a legal perspective, with the effort to, you know, by some to try to professionalize college sports with NIL and other moves. So, you know, I feel like we're spinning multiple plates at once and trying to make sense of it. So, you know, we very much have a long-term strategic view, and I think the conference is exceedingly well-positioned long-term with when our television agreements are coming up, strength of our schools, how our campuses work well together, great coaches in our league, excellent recruiting. A lot of the great fundamentals are there, but, you know, most of our time right now is spent on navigating these short-term, midterm crises, which are, you know, very, very concerning. And a lot of factors to take into account in terms of the health and safety of our campuses, our student athletes, you know, how it's all going to work from a financial perspective for our athletics departments, and obviously leaning in and supporting the issues that matter most to our student athletes.
You announced 2 days or that 2 days ago, schools in the conference are allowed to do workouts, you know, where they're able to come in on a volunteer basis to work out, and obviously very strict guidelines. You know, Utah gave us their plan and it was very structured and really well thought out, but we've seen with other schools across the country, it hasn't really been going very well with them getting cases of the virus. And I know that there's some schools that haven't started the workouts yet in the conference, but from what you've seen so far with the schools who have everything gone well?
So far, so good. But, you know, we're going to walk before we jog, before we run on this. I think our university is going to take a very prudent, phased approach to bringing student athletes back to campus. And, you know, we're very, very fortunate. Not only do we have very skilled and experienced athletics directors and their teams, but we've got world-class university hospitals, medical research centers with tremendous resources and expertise. I mean, I think about the University of Utah. We've the head of the infectious disease center at the university's medical center is on the Pac-12's advisory board for how to deal with COVID. The team doctor is really an excellent contributor to what we're doing. So I think, you know, University of Utah is a great example of where they're major contributors to the Pac-12's overall guidelines for bringing student athletes back. But I know there's great resource and expertise locally as well. And so we're going to be cautious. I think the thing I'd underscore, you know, is inherent in your question. I want to be careful to not equate the fact that student athletes, others in the community might have the COVID virus with any type of failure or hiccup or problem. It won't be a surprise if student athletes test positive for the virus. It's actually expected. What we're doing is checking student athletes when they first come back to campus for the virus and the antibody and quarantining them as appropriate so they're not bringing into the athletics facilities. But we have to understand our student athletes are students and they're, you know, going to go to the dining hall and they're going to go to classes and go back to their dorm and go to parties and hope they do it in a very socially responsible way, showing a high degree of responsibility and abundance of caution for their teammates. But because there's asymptomatic transfer of it, you know, student athletes may have it, be able to transmit, and not know it. So I think we should be prepared for the fact that there'll be student athletes and others that have the virus. It's going to be endemic in our communities all over the conference. I think what we're going to measure success by is how we contain it, how we identify it, how we treat student athletes in terms of their care and well-being, but avoid major outbreaks. I think that's really the goal.
And it actually seems like that's kind of the case with a lot of the schools around the country. I kind of wanted to go back just a little bit. I know, you know, through this 10-year window, since the conference has had 12 members, I know now you're not thinking about it, but have you thought about adding more members to this conference?
You know, it hasn't been a priority, and we haven't spent a lot of time discussing it. I think the culture of the conference is excellent. The fit and the camaraderie and the mutual respect is excellent. Those are some of the intangibles that you hope for as a commissioner will exist in your conference, and I think we feel that. People are delighted with the current makeup of the conference. And anytime you expand, there's a risk with that, and we haven't felt a need or an opportunity. But I think as we get closer to our television agreements expiring and maybe redoing those would be a natural time to think about. I mean, you tend to take a step back, think about the holistic issues strategically. So I'm sure we will spend some time talking about it, but we don't go into that with a bias that we need to add or expand.
We'll end on this. You've obviously done a lot of interviews around the nation, and I wouldn't be able to have you on without asking you the question that everybody's been asking. And I know that things change daily, but as you see it right now, do you see a college football season in the fall?
I do. I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic the way things are going. I see the plans the NFL and baseball and other sports have, and I see the way our public health officials are kind of embracing us reopening. Every one of our campuses has announced plans to reopen in some form or fashion and to have student athletes start to come back. And based on the quality of the advice from our medical advisory board, I think we're going to be able to do it in as safe a way as possible, a responsible way. And I'm in daily conversations with our peers from the other leagues, SEC, ACC, Big 12, Big 10. I think we're all committed, if things keep going as well as they've been going, to start the football season, try to complete it. But we'll stay nimble. We'll have to adjust based on what happens. But sitting here right now, I've got reason to be optimistic we're going to play a college football season.
Well, and I know that fans are loving you saying that because, you know, we're all waiting for, especially during, you know, 3 months of not having any live sports. It's definitely something to look forward to. Larry, it's always great to catch up with you. I really do. Thank you for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to join me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It's definitely a time to reflect back and, lot to feel good about in terms of the 10 years coming up of Utah and the Pac-12. We're really proud to have Utah as part of the conference.
All right, Larry, thank you.
Thanks.
And there you go. That was Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott. Really thankful that he was able to carve some time out of his busy schedule to join the podcast. You guys can read more on this over at kslsports.com. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Trevor A. Sports and all of the KSL Sports social accounts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at KSL Sports. Until next time, thanks for tuning in to the Crimson Corner Podcast.